welcome to a very special edition of the Fastest 40 Minutes in Podcasting. As always, I am Bill, here with Ross, and we are, we have a long-standing rule. Missouri makes the NCAA tournament in basketball. We got to have a podcast sometime in the next 3 weeks or so. So,
sadly enough, that was the arbitrary number I was going to come up with. We've been doing this too long.
I know. Two years is just apparently... the magic's, no surprises anymore. So, Missouri makes their second straight NCAA tournament. As I mentioned a few days ago, we're in the position of being disappointed by, the way the season turned out and only getting a 10 seed. But stepping back and reflecting on a season with so much uncertainty coming in and really so much uncertainty from game to game, it's nice to be back and have an opponent that, has some weaknesses, has a very specific strength that could hurt Missouri. But I figured we could dive right in with a little preview in here. I don't know how much you've gotten a chance to take a look at Mr. Oliver Purnell's Tigers.
I didn't even know Oliver Purnell coached the Tigers, so I'm learning. I'm learning with our listeners.
Okay. So I guess I should also mention that, if Missouri wants to get revenge for two things, they have a little motivation. Number one, they can get revenge for the bitter 47-45 defeat in the 1996 San Juan Shootout consolation rounds.
Kim English is pissed about that.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, I can't even remember if that was consolation or if that was the first game. Regardless, bitter. And as well, if they wanted to get revenge on the fact that the Beef and I and two others drove 15 hours to Clemson for the 2000 Missouri-Clemson football game, and Clemson decided to go ahead and win 62-9 and be really, really ungrateful hosts in that regard, then, I'll pass that along to Kimmy on Facebook and, avenge my 30 hours lost. That's really all I can come up with. It's kind of funny. I think over time I start to see kind of kindred spirits in other conferences.
Clemson, so much.
And like Clemson in the ACC, St. John's a little bit in the Big East, at least until the last couple of years, just as far as the whole once proud program falling apart and can't get it back together thing. So I've always felt sympathetic for those two teams on the East Coast.
Clemson football especially. I feel you guys.
Yeah, they both have a tradition based around a rock, although theirs is a little more well-known than, recognizable, I guess, than RM. although Rock M Nation is doing its best to, to pick up the slack there.
Yeah, what the hell, Howard's Rock Nation?
That's right, come on, shaking in the Southland, get it together. But yeah, I mean, I think we are pretty similar programs overall. Aspiring to be great at football, Clemson did manage to steal a national title the way we didn't manage to steal one a couple years ago. I hate even bringing that up. But yeah, in general, just kind of could be, they have the facilities to be good at both programs, football and basketball, and they're kind of overshadowed by heavyweights in both football and basketball. And they got the label of underachiever, which we had to fight with in both sports at some point or another recently. But anyway, so there's my better Noah Clemson.
Big ups, Clemson. We feel you.
We'll wait for Mr. Tepper to come on and undo any goodwill that we try to build in the next couple of days with his better Noah.
I'll say this, like the other 360 days of the year, no problems with Clemson. We're cool.
That's right. But for next 5 days, screw you. So I've been putting together a little bit of research for the Know Your Fellow Pressing Tigers piece that will come out in the next couple days, our statistical preview of our upcoming opponent. And man, oh man, are we looking at a bit of a mirror image here. It's really pretty, and the dog's in the background getting restless here, making little snork noises, so, I might have to get up and let her out here in a second. But yeah, in offensive efficiency, but obviously these are all Ken Pomeroy numbers because, we worship the ground that Pomeroy walks on. Missouri is 50th overall in offensive efficiency, Clemson's 47th. Missouri's 12th in defensive efficiency, Clemson's 9th. Clemson's 81st in effective field goal percentage, Missouri's 96th. Missouri's 44th in defensive effective field goal percentage, and Clemson's 56th. They both are in the top 10 in the number of turnovers forced, and neither draws fouls to save their lives. So, you know, in a lot of ways, this is a very, very interesting matchup just because we do a lot of the same things well and a lot of the same things poorly.
It's ACC us.
That's right. Kindred spirits. And in the end, the major differences, I think, come along in the following lines. Number one, Clemson is a very good offensive rebounding team. And
hooray.
Yeah, it's kind of Missouri's been so weird in the way in the teams they've chosen to give up a lot of offensive rebounds to. They bring it against Kansas State. You know, they do pretty well overall against some of the better rebounding teams not named Kansas. But they just seem to have lapses sometimes. And if they have one on Friday, then this is going to be a pretty short stay in the tournament. But at the same time, Clemson turns the ball over like mad. They're 218th in the country in turnover percentage on offense. And those two stats right there kind of give you an idea of where this game might be decided. If Missouri can keep Clemson off the glass on offense, and if Clemson can hold onto the ball and control the ball a little bit on defense, or on offense, excuse me, then you know the game's going to be decided right there. The other thing I'm going to point out in the Know Your Fellow Pressing Tigers piece is, and I don't want to ruin everything here, but we might be seeing a lot of missed three-pointers on Friday. Both of these teams take about 20 three-pointers a game, despite the fact that they don't actually make many of them. Both are streaky. But Clemson, man, oh man, they shoot 20 a game. They shoot 33.6% from beyond the arc. It almost seems like it's kind of a, you know, get everybody underneath, launch a three-pointer and try to grab the rebound kind of offense. And I know just looking through some of their stats early on, they when they lose, they shoot very, very poorly, which of course goes for a lot of teams in the country. But
yeah, have we figured out a correlation there yet?
Yeah, you don't make baskets, it's hard to win. But yeah, in general, I think we're going to see a lot of three-pointers, and that just adds this big aura of mystery to this game because we have no idea who's going to make them. We do know that Clemson has the number 10 three-point defense in the country, and that's a bad sign. But, you know, it's that's there are some differences there, and there are a whole lot of similarities, and I'm really intrigued by the matchup as a whole. So, Rossi, that's my 2-minute summary of Clemson.
I was just going to let you keep going for as long as you could. No, oh, yeah. I haven't looked at things as closely as I would have liked to at this particular point in time, but I like the matchup for nothing else in that, you know, obviously it's going to be a pace that Missouri's comfortable playing. Whether or not they're good at playing it, I guess is a night to night issue. But in terms of something where they're not going to be completely out of their element, it's not going to be, you know, Nebraska just completely deflating the ball. It's cheap to say it comes down to whether or not shots are falling. But if they're playing at a pace they're comfortable with, and if the playmakers that they need to step up can get in a comfort zone that they haven't been in the last 3 weeks, yeah, I like the matchup for that reason and that reason alone.
Yeah, and I think in general, the odds of somebody having a double-digit lead at some point are pretty good, just because when you press, you know, it becomes a momentum thing. On Pomeroy's stats, I saw that their pace isn't quite as high as I expected, but, still, when you're a pressing team and you're trying to get steals and easy baskets, one made shot increases the likelihood of another made shot in the end, and the momentum swings here could be very, very interesting to see. I think if it's a half-court game, you know, really that favors neither team, but it almost favors Missouri more, I think, just taking a look at the stats. I do think Clemson settles for a lot of jumpers. They have a lot of the same bad habits that Missouri does, which, if nothing else, cancels out Missouri's bad habits. And we could be, it's very intriguing. That's really all I can say at this point. So I'm going to let the dog out of the room now, and then we'll keep talking.
All right.
Come on.
Intermission music.
Yeah. All right. So we were hoping heading in that Missouri would avoid the 8-9 game, and they certainly did that. They fell to 10, which in some ways was a blessing.
It really was.
And, you know, I mean, obviously having to play a 7 instead of an 8 means you're maybe playing a smidge better team in the first round. But, I mean, in general, the way Missouri is, for a good portion of this year, they've alternated between playing like a 5 seed and an NIT team. And, you know, if it's good Mizzou, if they're making their open shots, just their open ones, they don't even have to, like, get ridiculously hot. They just need to make the open shots. And they're keeping Clemson off the glass, then they're playing like a 5 seed, then we could be very well staring at a second-round matchup versus West Virginia, which is another kind of intriguing matchup. And, of course, if they play like the NIT team they played like recently, then it doesn't matter who the opponent is. This is the last game of the season. If they do win and move on to play West Virginia, there's one stat that really excites me and one stat that just scares the bejesus out of me. First of all, West Virginia is the second best offensive rebounding team in the country, which, when matched up against Missouri is not necessarily a good thing. Now they've actually fared pretty well against other really good offensive rebounding teams like Old Dominion and Kansas State. I'll let you figure out how that happened. But I mean, in general, West Virginia has a very efficient offense, not because they shoot pretty well, but just because they get second chances on every single, possession, it seems like, and they don't turn the ball over much. But at the same time, they never force turnovers of their own, and they foul a lot, and they have a very average 3-point defense, and all three of those things are very important for Missouri's offense. I think that would be another really interesting matchup as a whole. Obviously, you know, if you doom yourself to being a 7, 8, 9, or 10 seed, you're going to play a very good team in the second round if you win. And West Virginia is clearly ridiculously good. They won 8 out of 9 here. You know, you can hope that maybe it's a Bob Huggins team falling apart in March, wearing out or whatever, that type of situation, and maybe it will be. But they're tall, they rebound wonderfully, they're very streaky shooting, and you know, it's interesting. I guess in the end, I could see worse matchups for Missouri as far as the 2 seeds go.
Yeah, no, you can see worse matchups. And I think the hope is that you can at least get inside West Virginia's head as a team that hasn't, you know, I haven't looked at the numbers or anything, but it seems like they've, up until the Big East tournament at least, had some trouble away from home, which it's a fantastic league. Obviously, you're going to have trouble winning away from home if you're playing in the Big East no matter what. But no, I think it's a team that has assumed Huggins' identity a little bit, which is why I think if you can get into their head a little bit, especially if you're a team like a Missouri or a Clemson, that I've got to presume West Virginia is probably looking past. It's an interesting matchup in the sense that I think you're right. I think there are some other 2 seeds that I think you'd be a little bit more scared of. I'm not saying I would like Missouri against West Virginia. I'm not saying I would pick Missouri against West Virginia. But given the state of the 2 seeds as it currently sits, I don't know that that's your worst matchup.
We should also, you know, not disrespect Morgan State. I'm pretty sure Morgan State is the Todd Bozeman coach, Morgan State. Gotta say, it was very funny the last couple of days to see Todd Bozeman coaching again for Morgan State, and then Tony T. Money Harvey coaching yesterday against Arkansas Pine Bluff for Texas Southern. I guess once you're a coach in college basketball, you've always got a job one way or the other. But, I would have preferred maybe playing Ohio State or West Virginia among the 2 seeds. Obviously, Kansas and Kansas State are out. But, I mean, those 2 teams, maybe Kentucky at the 1 level, maybe Duke, although Duke is tremendous offensively and on the glass.
Yeah.
But really, this could be a lot worse draw overall. Getting Clemson, getting West Virginia, and if everything goes right, maybe even a rematch with Marquette in the Sweet 16.
I mean, the thing is, you're 10. Your draw is going to suck. That's just the way it goes. But I think it could have sucked much, much worse.
that's really all you can say. Since I pulled up Morgan State's Ken Pomeroy page here, I feel, you know, in the effort of full disclosure, if they are to upset West Virginia, it's going to be because they also are a very good offensive rebounding team. So Missouri, if they beat Clemson, will face a good offensive rebounding team in the second round no matter what. They steal the crap out of the ball, which actually makes them an interesting matchup with West Virginia. And, well, they give up a ton of offensive rebounds and they foul a lot. But, you know, that's probably good for a Morgan State preview, isn't it?
I would hope so. This is the difference between you and I. You go to the KenPom page. I went to Wikipedia.
So what is Wikipedia?
They're committed to providing opportunity of higher education to all persons, regardless of socioeconomic status. So
that's good.
Keep doing your thing, Morgan State. We appreciate you.
Where is Morgan State, by the way?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh,
actually.
Well, yeah. Hell, that's embarrassing. I should have known that.
And apparently, the campus is classified as urban. So, congrats.
Well, if it's in Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, I would hope so. I wouldn't consider Baltimore rural exactly.
They play home games at Hill Fieldhouse, capacity 4,500, 248 largest in Division One. So there you go. Their star player.
They have less postgraduate students than I had people graduating from my high school class.
Because you don't need a postgraduate degree.
Don't tell them that.
Their star, their go-to guy, Reggie Holmes, 6'4 senior. They've got a reasonable amount of height, but you know that's good. Yeah, I watched.
We're previewing Morgan State.
I mean, there's a consolation game, right? Oh no, there's not. Never mind.
Not yet. There's not.
That's right. They did fight very well against Murray State in the Bracket Buster a couple weekends ago. They
that's the tournament expansion we're missing. Consolation bracket.
Oh God. I think they contracted that a while ago for a reason. they lost by 9 at Louisville, not bad. They lost by 16 at Baylor, not bad. They lost by 30 at Minnesota, which is pretty bad. But, you know, they're 4-15 seed. They're not bad. But if Missouri wins, they're going to be playing West Virginia. And, I think it's unanimous. We could do a lot worse than that. So, anyway, now it's up to Missouri to actually play like they can. And actually make their open threes. I've mentioned this a few times on the board. Before we get to the tournament as a whole, I do need to ask your opinion here. How much does Missouri miss Justin Safford? Because I honestly cannot tell.
It's funny because as awful as they've been, I don't think there's causation. And I think you and I kind of see eye to eye that, yes, this team is different since Justin Safford went down, but I don't know that it's Justin Safford's fault.
It seems to me we miss Kimmy English and Marcus Denman more than we miss Justin Safford and Zaire Taylor. All three of them have just been god-awful, and there's correlation there, but I just can't find causation in the fact that Justin Safford goes down and our guards start missing their open three-pointers. They've been taking a few stupid shots, but they always will. I mean, the point is, if you make your open ones or a good percentage of your open ones, you're doing just fine in this system. And they just haven't been. And one of the lines is just that, you know, Keith Ramsey will wear out the longer Safford's out. But, I mean, he's been doing...
Keith Ramsey will not wear out ever. That man is in ridiculous shape.
And, I mean, he hasn't yet. And, you know, he's...
I'm more concerned about Bowers than I am about Ramsey.
Yeah, well, and I'm worried about Bowers because of the wrist, too. I mean, he's going to have to play major minutes whether he's able to play effectively or not. Keith Ramsey's clearly not going to get tired. Obviously, it makes us thinner, and if you know somebody is extremely ineffective or gets into foul trouble, then Safford, his absence looms very large. But really, the major thing we miss from Justin Safford is, since I've been watching March Madness and you know watching basketball for the last 2 weeks, spurtability. That word has come back into my own personal lexicon. Recently, and the fact is, Safford, you know, he would average 8-9 points a game. He would score four of those very, like, in back-to-back possessions in one half, and 4-6 in back-to-back possessions in the other half. And
well,
that's how he got to 10
points.
Is
that Missouri's getting off to slow starts, and usually it's Safford that pours, like, he'll finish with 8 points for the game, but he'll have the first six for Missouri and kind of drag them along.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that is the most specific area where he is missed. Like, he seems to do a pretty good job of stepping up when others around him are cold, and you know
before you even realize everybody's cold too. It's like, well, nobody's going to shoot. Screw it, I will.
And my line initially was, you know, we will miss him, but you can only miss a 40% shooting power forward so much, and clearly Missouri is a lesser team without him. I just cannot tell how much of that is due to him and how much of it is just due to another bad slump by Missouri's three main shooters.
Do we need to call him a power forward, or can we, like, create a position? He's not a small forward. Can we just call him, like, a large forward?
Power guard. Since that's what he was until about, what, 4 years ago, when he was 18 and had an 18-inch growth spurt or whatever it was. I very much like having a 10-man rotation, and we very clearly do not have that right now. And our options are limited, but the simple fact is if our three good shooters could hit the broadside of a barn in the last 2 weeks, we have, at the very least, had a chance against Nebraska. Although, in the end, we can look back at that Nebraska game and realize that that was a very good, a very well-timed cold streak on our part, because Nebraska was not going to miss no matter what. And we might as well save all the made shots till this coming weekend.
And Sadler pretty much admitted as much. He's like, we were basically just hitting everything.
Well, I mean,
he was almost laughing it off, basically.
Well, I mean, those games happen in a 30-plus game season, and it was really poorly timed. You know, Big 12 tournament, you don't want to leave that impression. But, I mean, there was a reason I all but predicted us to lose at Lincoln a few weeks ago. It's because, you know, Nebraska has the capability to shoot pretty well when they want to. Or not when they want to, but, you know, when they get going.
They just didn't want it enough.
Yeah, that's right. They just didn't want it to the extent of 2-14 in conference or whatever they were. But no, I they got hot like teams sometimes do. And, you know, good defense led to an open bucket. Bad defense led to an open bucket. And it just, it was not fun. At first I very much regretted having a meeting for the first half of that game. But in the end, I don't regret missing the first half of that game at all.
I wouldn't say I missed it, Bob.
That's right. Meanwhile, you were busy getting on television, sort of.
Yeah, I don't think that was actually me.
Oh, okay, damn.
Although they said they saw Rakim, and I had Rakim up, so who knows? But yeah, no, I was in that corner on the second day at least.
And and kudos to Ross for cranking out many game stories over the course of 2 days there, and you know. If we could have taken up a collection beforehand, maybe he would have been able to stay for a couple more days through the semifinals and finals. But you got Brian's out of the deal, so I'm not going to feel too bad for you. Anyway, so I figure, you know, it's just us on a podcast, which means these things go at least, 75-80 minutes. We can take the time to go through, I was going to say relatively quickly, but, you know, maybe not. The bracket as a whole.
We're gonna put a limit on it. 20 seconds per game, no more than that.
All right, let me pull it up to where I can see the stopwatch here.
Okay. We're gonna go lightning round.
Okay.
None of that, like no serious analysis here. We're just going on the gut.
Okay. Are you ready?
Rock and roll.
Okay. We'll start with the Midwest region since that's where CBS started today. Kansas versus the Mountain Hawks / the Beef's dad's alma mater's Lehigh.
I kind of want to go with the fight in the Beef's dad's, but no, Kansas.
Yeah, we didn't take up 20 seconds there. I don't think we need to.
Pass.
UNLV Northern Iowa.
UNLV only because I feel like I'm supposed to.
I think UNLV will probably win, but if they don't, I think Northern Iowa is kind of an interesting matchup for Kansas with Eggles Cedar, however you say his name. They have that and another guy, Adam Cook, I think, or Cock, or Cook, or Coach, or something. I don't know.
This is why we can't get on the iTunes.
That's what I'll have to bleep that out.
Go on.
So anyway, if Northern Iowa wins, that presents at least a teeny tiny little interesting matchup for Kansas in the second round. We'll split. I'll go Northern Iowa just, you know, for, you know, variety. Michigan State, New Mexico State.
Michigan State.
I was surprised that the bracket shaped up to where New Mexico State was a 12. I think I had them as a 12 too. That's not a 12 in the sense of, you know, 12 sometimes beat fives. Don't see
it. I don't know that Michigan State, they are a five, but they have the potential to be much, much stronger than a five.
And they usually peak in the tournament.
Yep.
Maryland, Houston.
Maryland.
Yeah, the teams like Houston that end up catching fire, you know, like Arkansas did a couple times, win four games in 4 days and everything. That doesn't usually translate to success the next week.
Well, I was telling Uribe today that it seems like Maryland's going to face Kansas in the Sweet 16, and Grievous will have like 43, but Maryland will still lose by like 12.
I will say that the one interesting part about Maryland-Houston could be that you'll have Vasquez going against a very – are you hearing an echo? Weird.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
Huh. Well, hopefully that goes away shortly. Okay. All right, I'm calling you back. The drawbacks of using a free program in Skype.
I thought you were just pulling like a Wayne's World stunt on me.
I don't hear myself talking back to me now. I think we're good. Anyway, all right. The one interesting thing about Maryland-Houston is Houston's got the leading, a very, very high score, and I'm going blank on his name because I only heard it like yesterday. But if it becomes a duel between that guy and Vasquez, you know, either one of them develops bad habits and, it, you know, swings the favor in the other way, or it becomes a hell of a game back and forth. Obviously, I'm picking Maryland, though. Tennessee-San Diego State.
Tennessee.
I was very impressed with San Diego State, and I thought I was hoping they would get a good draw, but I really like Tennessee also. So
I trust Pearl in the first couple rounds.
Yeah, the end. Georgetown, Ohio.
Georgetown.
Yeah. I forgot that Georgetown had 10 losses. I didn't, you know, every time I see them play, they are magnificent, and I expect big things out of them, hopefully, although that sets up a very interesting second-round game that we'll get to in a second. Oklahoma State, Georgia Tech.
I'm going to pretend Okie State's hitting their shots. Okie State.
Yeah, they really, it doesn't matter what Georgia Tech does in this game.
It doesn't matter who they're playing.
Right. It just, it's same way as Missouri, except like magnified by about 8. If Anderson, Manello, and Page are hitting their shots, they are untouchable.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do it consistently.
Yep. That's K-State.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll go with Oklahoma State. And then Ohio State versus UC Santa Barbara, Ohio State, moving on.
OHIO big.
Yeah. All right. So then we have KU versus Nevada, Northern Iowa, Las Vegas.
I don't care. Give me Kansas either way.
Yeah, sure. Michigan State, Maryland.
Michigan State.
I'm going to punish Maryland for being a little overseeded and go with Michigan State.
I think you can flip those two and it wouldn't be a big deal.
Tennessee, Georgetown. I hate that they're matched up in the second round, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Give me Georgetown. I think Georgetown wears them down.
We'll go with that. I was going to just go with whatever you say because I didn't want to have to pick this one. OSU.
The most entertaining, perhaps second-round game I've seen in a long time. I don't care to pick a winner. I just want to watch that game.
I think, you know, it depends on Oklahoma State obviously making shots, but it also depends on how well they manage Ohio State's runs. The last two games, Ohio State was in a battle and then suddenly went on a 20-0 run out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Today's game was ridiculous. It was like a 9-point game, and suddenly it was a 30-point game.
Well, like we've said, Okie State can play with every single team and beat every single team that's in the tournament if they're shooting as lights out as they're capable of doing. So trying to predict what they're going to do is an exercise in futility.
But being that our predictions here don't matter, I'm picking Oklahoma State.
All right, let's do it. Okie State. Sorry, Evan Turner, who's a friend of Uribe's.
Kansas, Michigan State, and a rematch of last year's Sweet 16.
Kansas.
Yeah. For the pick, whatever pick'em contest we do, I joked a few days ago, I almost want us to make a rule where everybody has to pick Kansas to lose in the first round, just so you don't end up with, you know, moral dilemmas of everybody picking them to win the national title. They're weird.
And you're just hurting the win percentage, though, and we just look bad.
Yeah, they're just stinking good. So then I guess that means we have Georgetown, Oklahoma State in the Sweet 16.
We'll say Georgetown just so we don't have to continue the charade anymore. The possibility of knowing that, again, Oklahoma State.
Hey, Kansas wants no part of Oklahoma State in the Elite Eight. That's all I'm going to say. Actually, no, this is Kansas. They'll win the rematch by 49.
Yeah.
So then Kansas, Georgetown.
Kansas.
Ugh. Moving on to the West region.
It was easy.
Syracuse, Vermont in a rematch of the 2005 awesomeness that was the first round of the tournament. I'm probably not going to expect the same result this time around.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Syracuse will be okay.
Yeah. Gonzaga, Florida It is Florida State, right?
Yeah. I have no clue. You make the call here. No clue.
Michael Snair plays for Florida State.
Gonzaga.
No, actually, no. After the research I did today that showed Gonzaga really shouldn't even be in the freaking tournament, except they're named Gonzaga, I'm going with Florida State. Done. Butler, UTEP.
Butler.
UTEP.
Oh, yeah?
I think that the... I'm going to backtrack on that. I think UTEP has major star power in the two players you can name from them, Culpepper and Character. And they very well could make a nice little run here, but yeah, screw it, UTEP.
All right.
There you go. You have it. Vanderbilt, Murray State.
This is more interesting than I think we give it credit for. I'll take Vandy, but...
I really liked Vandy a couple weeks ago, and then they've kind of let me down recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll save Vandy there. Xavier, Minnesota.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Give me Minnesota. I reserve the right to change this before the actual pick'em starts, but for the sake of the podcast, give me Minnesota.
The dog was pawing back on the door, by the way, so she's back in here. And staring at me kind of creepy.
Eating the molding.
Oh.
It's Mrs. Bill C.
Yeah, she was eating the molding, trying to get attention, so she got banished back here with me.
We should clarify it's the dog, not Mrs. Bill C. eating the molding.
Well, I mean, we can clarify as much as we know to clarify. I guess she's not listening. Okay. I just don't trust Minnesota. They had a good week this week. I just don't trust them to have another one. I'll say Xavier.
Okay.
Pitt, Oakland. I really like Oakland as far as, you know, just having D1 athletes and being really fun and physical, but I like Pitt in the tournament, at least the first weekend. BYU, Florida.
BYU, huge.
I hope so. Yeah. I was okay with Florida sneaking in the tournament, but not as a freaking 10 seed. I do think BYU's really got a lot of potential, though. They've got good guards and good bigs. Kansas State, North Texas.
North Texas gets weighed down by the Rudy's Barbecue on 35 up to Oklahoma City, K-State.
Oh, mean green. I watched a lot of that end of that North Texas, whoever the hell they were playing the other day in the Sun Belt Finals.
And, I'm sorry.
And I was not impressed.
It's kind of like the university.
Hey, now.
I've got friends there. They're good people. They're good people.
Well, K-State still wins. Okay. Syracuse versus Florida State.
Syracuse.
I don't trust Syracuse right now, but I don't like Florida State very much. So, yeah, Syracuse.
Yeah.
But UTEP versus Vanderbilt.
Toss up. You're cool.
I guess since we can't have a combination team make the Sweet 16, we'll go with Vanderbilt. Who did we? Xavier, Minnesota versus Pittsburgh.
Whoever Pitt plays, it will lose. Pitt.
Okay. Well, that's good. I like Xavier quite a bit, but yeah, Pitt and Xavier are very similar, and Pitt's more talented, so there you go.
Yeah.
BYU, Kansas State.
Kansas State.
Boy. This is a...
it's going to be an interesting one.
BYU is exactly the type of 7 seed that matches up well with K-State. They're big and physical, and if K-State's not hitting their outside shots, they're just like Missouri or OSU. Like, they could struggle big time.
Yeah, and at the same time, I'm also taking everything with a grain of salt that unless you can tell me who the officials are going to be in all these games, it's hard to predict K-State.
And yeah, like we've mentioned multiple times, with the Big 12 officiating the way it is, if you get used to getting a lot of fouls called on your opponent, and suddenly the whistles don't come, you could get lost in a hurry.
Yeah.
I'm okay with picking K-State here because, you know, go Unholy Alliance. But I do not trust them anywhere between the second round and the NCAA finals. Like, I have no idea what they're capable of at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we've got Syracuse versus Vanderbilt.
Use.
For the sake of non-chalk, I'd like to pick Vanderbilt, but they kind of scared me off this last week.
I just don't believe in Vanderbilt as much anymore.
Clearly, actually, come to think of it, the top 4 seeds in this region all kind of lost my trust in the last few weeks. Syracuse, Vanderbilt, Pittsburgh, and KSU all kind of went haywire. I did like the way K-State played, obviously, this weekend, though.
Yeah.
So then that leads us to K-State Pitt.
Yikes. I'm going to have to abstain with that one, especially just because of the officiating that we just talked about.
Yeah, Pitt has not been playing very well recently, but boy, that's just those are two teams that could do absolutely anything on the inside to each other.
Yeah, I got the coin here. You want me to flip it?
Go for it.
Heads, we got the high seed. Tails, we got the low seed. It is heads. K-State wins.
Okay, so Syracuse, K-State.
Can K-State just lose? That way we don't have to do this anymore? What do you say?
We'll say Syracuse just so we don't have to continue to...
Okay, good.
We're awesome. We picked 2-1 seeds. Go us. That's fantastic. Okay, well, Kentucky, East Tennessee State, no. Texas, Wake Forest. Ugh.
Remember the Red River Shootout where Tepper or GHTD was just continually posting its poop again meets from Billy Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, as soon as they announced this matchup, that's all I could think of.
I've seen a lot more of Texas than Wake Forest, and so, I know what they're capable of.
Yeah, I will take Texas, but I just want to throw out the disclaimer that it's two teams that are just lost in themselves right now.
Yeah, and Wake Forest has really nice size, and they can, and some of the best field goal percentage defense in the country, and this could be an atrocious game to watch. But we'll go with Texas. Temple Cornell.
I love Cornell as a 12 seed in most years. I don't know. I've kind of got a, I don't want to say I've got a feeling about Temple because usually my feelings when it comes to college basketball suck. But I like Temple.
Cornell is one of those teams, that I would just assume I was going to pick as a first round upset. But I think I was very much swayed today by the way Temple played. Richmond played very well today, and Temple handled them. And they're very talented around the basket, and I just, I was impressed. I came away impressed and thinking they deserved a 3 or 4 seed, and they got a 5, so what do I know? It is interesting, by the way, that I'm pretty sure we're going to end up picking all 5s over 12s, which is the cardinal mistake of picking brackets, but we could pick 1-2 13s over 4s in the end.
Yeah.
Those seem to be the more interesting matchups this time around. 4-13, Wisconsin-Wofford.
Wisconsin.
I was so high on Wisconsin, and then they lost to Illinois, and now I don't know, but they'll definitely be Wofford.
I am much, much less high on Wisconsin.
Marquette, Washington.
Toss-up.
Yeah. We'll say Washington just because we need some upsets, although that would ruin the chance of us playing Marquette in the Sweet 16 in the grudge match to end all grudge matches.
We'll take Washington, and it's going to be like a 3-point game because it's all Marquette plays.
Yeah. That was amazing that, it was the first time when Georgetown pummeled them the other day, it was the first time all year they had lost by double digits. They haven't lost like twice. They've lost plenty of times. New Mexico, Montana.
New Mexico.
Yeah, I really like that dude from Montana scoring 80 bazillion points, but I can't pick a 14. Clemson, Missouri?
We'll take Missouri.
Yeah, just to end the moral dilemma right there. We won't actually worry about the pick just yet. Missouri wins.
Yeah.
West Virginia, Morgan State. Hey, watch out for Morgan State on the glass as the dog eats a cardboard box to try to get my attention. Okay, so Kentucky, Texas.
Kentucky.
Texas is exactly the kind of 8 seed that could beat Kentucky, but I'm not picking it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
Wisconsin, Temple.
Temple.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, we picked an upset.
Yeah, go us.
And then Washington, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
I have no idea how Washington played poorly enough to end up an 11 seed, because every time I've seen them this year, I was impressed. I think they're extremely athletic.
The only extended amount of time I watched Washington was Texas Tech. So.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, you probably came away with a different conclusion then.
A little bit.
I guess we'll go with... I don't trust New Mexico at all, but... I don't trust Washington either. Go to
Mexico. It's kind of an odd group of four right there. Somebody has to survive it.
So are we just going to pick Missouri to the national final so we don't have to think about it, or are we going to have them lose in the second round of West Virginia?
No, give me West Virginia for the sake of this.
Yeah, no fun. All right. Kentucky Temple.
Oh, hey now. I'll take Kentucky, but I'm not going to be surprised if it goes the other way.
I'm not picking Kentucky to the Final Four. I think it's good that they've come through in the clutch a couple times. Today, obviously, against Mississippi State. They did it against Vanderbilt a few games ago. They've had to come through in the clutch far too many times for a 1 seed for me.
I'll say this. If Temple doesn't get them, I think West Virginia does.
Yeah, I really like West Virginia. If they get past Missouri, of course. Duh.
Right. Yeah.
So then we've got, yeah, New Mexico, West Virginia. I assume I know who you're picking on that one.
Yeah.
So guess what? We have 1 versus 2 in the Elite Eight.
Hey, we are awesome. Give me 2.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Kansas, we've got Syracuse, we got West Virginia. All right, Duke versus, I'm not even going to put it up for
Pine Bluff.
Thought, yeah, Pine Bluff is beating Winthrop, damn it.
Yep.
And then they'll lose by 19 to Duke.
Yep.
Because that's what Pine Bluff does.
Yep.
Cal Louisville.
I have no clue.
I don't actually think Louisville is very good when they're playing somebody other than Syracuse. I don't think Cal's very good, but I think they'll have a little more chip on their shoulder just from hearing they can't beat anybody, they can't beat anybody, they can't beat anybody over the last week. But I'm gonna say Cal.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
And then I'll pick Louisville on my bracket.
Yep.
AMUSU.
Aggies.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that I like the Aggies, but
AM.
Yeah. Purdue, Siena. This
scares the crap out of me because every single person and their mother is like, all right, well, Siena.
Yeah.
So now that like 85% of America agrees, I almost want to pick Purdue just because I know that's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, that's usually what I do is if too many people assume there's going to be an upset, go the opposite direction. So does that mean we could pick Purdue in the upset for
yes,
over 13?
Yes, we pick Purdue in the upset.
Okay.
A team that scored 11 points in a half will beat Siena.
And 9 points in the first 1959 of the half.
Yeah, I decided to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Those are our future Big Ten brothers. Too soon.
Yeah.
Moving on.
It'll be neat to go to the Big House for a football game, though, won't it?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess. Sure. I'm game.
Especially if they still suck. six freaking seed Notre Dame versus Old Dominion.
For the sake of being crazy, give me Old Dominion.
For the sake of screw Notre Dame getting a 6th seed, I'm going Old Dominion.
All right.
I was
not going to matter anyway.
I was totally okay with Notre Dame getting into the field, but good God.
Yep.
Okay, well, then we've got Baylor versus their Texas, Sam Houston State. yeah, Baylor. Okay, moving on. Richmond versus St. Mary's College.
Richmond.
Yeah, I think St. Mary's is a pretty good team, but I really like Richmond. I thought they should have gotten a 6. Maybe Notre Dame 6, for instance. although maybe I guess they would have put him up against Old Dominion, who they'd already played. Anyway, Richmond. I got Richmond. Villanova, Robert Morris, Villanova. Villanova is not peaking right now, though, so that could be interesting. Duke, Cal.
Duke.
Yeah. Upset winner, Purdue versus A&M.
A&M.
Yeah. Old Dominion, Baylor.
Baylor.
Yeah. Richmond, Villanova.
That I don't know.
I'm picking Richmond. I just, number one, I was going to pick Baylor over Villanova anyway.
Yeah.
I'm totally.
Let's pick Richmond just for the sake of it.
I'm going way too far with both Baylor and A&M, and I'm going to regret it, but I like them both.
Oh, I know. I'll be on board as we go through this. So
we just announced who we're picking, ladies and gentlemen. So A&M Duke.
That one I think is more of a toss-up. I'll let you just, if you're ready to ride A&M into the Elite Eight.
Go ahead and flip a coin.
All right, give me 1 second. All right, heads is the higher seed.
Sure.
Is tails, A&M in the upset.
Well, okay. Baylor versus Richmond.
Baylor.
Yeah. So A&M Baylor in the Elite Eight. Oh, we're big trouble
No, here's the thing. Even if Duke beats A&M, give me Baylor. That's it. I legitimately just picked Baylor into the Final Four.
I'll go with you because you picked it first. I think A&M's steadier than Baylor. I think if one of those two teams is going to lay a gigantic egg at some point, it's going to be Baylor. But you said it first, so we'll go Baylor in the freaking Final Four. So Kansas, Syracuse. We should have just picked K-State because, you know, then we'd have 3 Big 12 teams in the Final Four.
Awesome. Kansas.
I thought it was, I mean, Syracuse hasn't played well this last week or so, but I thought it was an absolute freaking joke that they got on the same side of the bracket as Kansas.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Duke for beating every ACC team by 3 in the last week, but come on. Syracuse is going to fall victim to the fact that they have to play Kansas in the Final Four and lose. So then, West Virginia, Baylor in the other Final Four.
Oh, God.
Baylor can't make a Final Four before we do, can they?
What have we done? Yikes. I'm not picking that, just out of principle.
Yeah, it's West Virginia. Screw it.
I love how I'll pick Kansas over Syracuse without any like hesitation, but then Baylor and West Virginia come up, I'm like, oh, I can't do this.
And I'm not even going to ask about the finals because we both know who we're taking, and I just don't like it.
So how about that spring football, eh?
That's an awesome transition, awesome segue. What was the Conan character? Segway Sam? Segway Sal? Segway something? Well, anyway, you're that. So, well done. Yeah, spring football. Awesome. Will Ebner's hitting really hard, apparently. Go figure.
Sal, you're good and runs fast.
Right. See, good. And both Jarrell Harrison and Jasper Simmons are aspiring to be Pig Brown, which I'm not even going to ask what reaction that drew from you.
I don't know that I can classify that into words.
Just facial expression.
Yeah, and we have gifts of that.
All right, so 20 seconds or less, rapid fire through each position. What have you heard about quarterbacks so far, good or bad?
Well, you and I have heard the same things.
Yeah, true, so we'll just alternate talking.
If we all hear the same things. It's not like we were there. I mean, we can't say anything until the spring game. Hooray for Glazer for stepping up. You know, I'm high on the James Franklin bandwagon that it pained me to see two straight balls in a row, one being knocked down and one being picked, but still believe in the kid. And I was glad to hear Dave Matter shut some people up and say anybody who wants to move him to another position needs to see the kid throw.
And not just see what color the kid is, yeah. I mean, it took about 5 seconds of the first practice for people to go, holy crap, this dude throws a freaking football. I wonder who's going to win the starting job.
So, yeah, I don't know. We need to wait it out.
So running backs, I haven't really heard. There hasn't been a lot of talk about them other than just Derek Washington looks good, and Kendall Lawrence. Kendall Lawrence is no longer wearing a number that could be combined to look like an infinity, like we like it to be. A four is a pretty rigid number.
Darn it.
Yeah, but you know, as long as he hasn't transferred, he's still here. He's not scared of us. So
I love you, Kendall.
Yeah, that's right. Wide receiver, Relatus Woodland, I don't trust anything I hear about him at this point.
You and I are on the same page.
I'm going to have to see it.
We keep waiting for this to happen, and we're giddy waiting for it. But until it shows up, we have a healthy amount of skepticism.
People have just been gushing about him forever and ever because he's so fast. But
And you and I will take contrarian viewpoints just for the sake of no one else doing it. So I feel like that became our role with Roe.
God, hopefully he's Denario incarnate here, but I mean, until he does anything more than whatever he had the last few games, 4 catches for 16 yards or whatever.
He's wearing Michael Crabtree's number. I'm not saying.
That's right. And I like hearing that TJ Moe, at the very least, positive words.
For that kid, just for the love, just let it show up.
As positive things have been said about him, and that's good. And Jarrell Jackson, obviously, of course, too. Obviously people have been focusing on the wide receiver position and it's been nothing but positive so far. I'm not falling for it yet, but I probably will in another couple of weeks.
We really are.
I'm holding steady right now. Tight end.
Eric Waters apparently looking good. That's all right. We hear. I've heard nothing on Jones or Agnew. So.
Well, Jones isn't playing, I don't think, but Agnew, yeah. Haven't heard anything about him. Yeah. If Waters wants to become another 6'4", 225 target, that's great. Offensive line. Anything?
Did we really say anything about JT Beasley leaving?
I posted a link to
swept
it.
Under.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, if we were to make a transfer watch, then having a guy, a second or third year guy who it is pretty clear is never going to start, who's from out of state.
Yeah.
Obviously all those variables met, JT Beasley met all of those variables. And so it wasn't surprising. It's always disappointing, but, as long as there's not a spate of injuries, I think we're okay. That's really all I've heard about the O-line. Elvis Fisher isn't playing, and Mark Hill is actually starting, or supposedly number one on the depth chart, though I guess Jack Miner's, when it's time to practice, he's number one, so whatever.
I'll see some big Jack.
Defensive line.
Well, damn it to our defensive tackles for not staying healthy.
Yeah,
Mark
seriously.
Foster, come on, like... I love you irrationally, and you can't stay on the field.
Just the longer it goes without being able to see him, the more of a, he becomes Sasquatch. He's the greatest thing in the world, and we'll never get to see him. Is Sasquatch the greatest thing in the world that we'll never get to see? That wasn't a very good analogy at all, actually.
We could come up with many, especially if we're already labeling this podcast as explicit. But
no. That's right. Because okay.
You were not talking about the fullback from Iowa State.
That's right. Although I hated that guy. I would have called him that. DNs so far, I really haven't heard anything. So moving along. Could you, as excited as you were a month ago about the linebackers, where are you now?
The same excitement, but that's only because I'm reaching a ceiling.
That's true. Yeah, you can't really pass. You can't get any further up. Yeah, I mean, Ebner hitting real hard. Xavier Gooden running about the fastest 40 on the team and blowing up plays in the backfield and everything. It's just obviously the secondary and the D-line have to be good, too, for Missouri to have a good defense. But, boy, yeah.
I mean, and Bonner stepping up, Lambert and Ebner sharing time, Tatum's healthy again. It's Miles times.
So should we move to a 3-4 is what you're saying? Yeah. Since we don't have any D tackles anyway. All right, secondary.
Where are you, man?
So what you got on the secondary?
Nothing. No, I mean, just because everything we hear isn't necessarily, I don't know, just talent-based as much as it's like, hey, the secondary wants it more this year. Sweet, man, I'm excited.
Yeah, spring training and spring football are basically the same thing. You know what stories are going to pop up at all times.
Yeah.
Somebody's in the best shape of their life. Somebody's ready to lead because they're a senior now. I mean, Kevin Rutland, it sounds like he is trying to take over a little bit of vocal leadership of the defense, and I'm all for that. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
And obviously special teams is nothing in spring practice. So, there you go. That was like, that wasn't bad. That was like 7, 8, 10 minutes. I'm not sure.
We haven't freaked out about Matt Grabner yet.
That's right. You know, that becomes, it's kind of a rite of spring that we
freak out about the new punter.
And then he turns out to be great. So, you know, we better freak out about him. Otherwise we're in trouble.
Yeah. No, we're screwed if we can't find a punter
to freak out about.
I don't know that Matt Grabner can pull this off. Let's all freak out.
I mean, and seriously, right footed. Come on.
Yeah. Douche.
Okay. So, we passed the 50 minute mark, as we knew we would.
Yep.
Giving you analysis that only you can receive here. And now it's time for the 5-minute debate that is, what do we end the... Okay, no, actually, we have to at least acknowledge that softball has won like 38 straight games at this point.
Yeah, rock on softball.
I don't know if they'll get any higher than 3 anytime soon because number 1 and 2 are pretty locked in, but...
Well, and we should also say that because of some of the vitriol that has been received and a lot of it... very justifiably so over the last several years, a tip of the cap to Cindy Stein for her her time at the University of Missouri.
I wanted to be able to knowledgeably discuss who we might get to replace her. That isn't going to happen right now.
Well, apparently it's either the coach at TCU or the coach at Illinois State. So, yeah, do your research from there. I don't know anything about these people. I just saw their names be brought up.
I say let's go with the TCU person just because if they're like Gary Patterson, we're gold.
Yeah.
So,
until you leak his name too early into the coaching search,
that's right.
Bill Snyder again.
So we'll end up with Joanne Rutherford, our coach from the 80s. Just a fantastic head of hair. Okay. That's probably good. So
that's as much all sports as you're going to get from us, probably.
Oh, and a hat tip to. Our boy Jihad putting together some lovely previews I guess he's thinking about expanding to baseball as well. We very much appreciate that. And he seems to be getting into it quite a bit here. I just got Ross's suggestion for what outro song to use. And
it works, does it not?
Before I acknowledge it, I got to pull up my own iPod here. Let's see. What do I have?
You can't top that, especially if we go with the part that I'm thinking of.
I guess My Morning Jacket Dance Floors, you know, only I would appreciate that, although I love that song. Electric Six Dance Commander. Those guys are creepy as hell. If I Was a Dancer by the Rolling Stones. And of course. But that's as much Bowie as I can play in a podcast.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, fine.
I win.
You win. All right. I won't reveal it. You'll just have to be surprised.
Did you catch a theme?
Yeah. I hope you love this song as much as Ross does.
It makes sense, man. Believe in the outro music.
All right. Well, we just blew your mind with 55 minutes of wonderful podcasting, and hopefully we'll have a Sweet 16 matchup to podcast about a week from now. So if you didn't want Missouri to win just because they're Missouri and you want them to win, root for them so you can get another podcast about a celebratory whatever.
Because otherwise, we're talking football for an hour.
That's for the next 6 months. We will have podcasts every day to talk about football. That's a lie. Okay. Yeah, I think we're good. I think we've stalled. I think we've passed the 55-minute mark, and nobody's listening anymore. So we're going to go.
Nope.
All right. Until next time. Well, go Mizzou.